treehouse in the forest. Fa-la-la. I'm filling it with all your favorite things. Fa-la-la. There's a rainbow trout swimming in the river. Fa-la-la. There beneath the waterfall where we will bathe. Oh, I hope that you enjoy our little hideaway. Fa-la-la. Maybe you'll even want to stay. I put a lot of love into this little place. And when your world turns inside out, darling, you be the melody. I will sing your harmony. Together we will live out all our days in our treehouse. I made a table out of seashells. Driftwood is a frame beneath the bed. There's an arrow in the door, but it's not pointing anymore. No, that was just...
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
K282BH, Philomer, on 104.3 FM.
And K220HR, Hood River, on 91.9 FM.
And streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Volunteer-powered community radio.
KBOO.
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 Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. In these crazy times, sometimes now referred to as the post-truth era, people will choose to believe and even fight for whatever makes them feel better or appeals to their ego, as if there's no objective reality at all, as in, this is my truth. Our guest today on Pathways provides insight into the nature of this relativity and how science and spirituality come together to shed light upon the answer. Our guest is Paul Levy, author of The Quantum Revelation, Awakening in the Dreamlike Nature of Reality. A pioneer in the field of spiritual emergence, Paul is a wounded healer in private practice, assisting others who are also awakening to the dreamlike nature of reality. He is the founder of the Awaken in the Dream community in Portland, Oregon, and the author of 6 books, including 3 on what he named the Wetiko Mind Virus, the subject of an earlier Pathways episode, which, by the way, you should be able to find on divination.com if you're interested. An artist, Paul is deeply steeped in the work of C.G. Jung and has been a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner for 40 years. Hello, Paul, and welcome back to the Pathways show.
Yeah, it's great seeing you again, Paul. Thank you for the invite.
It's always fun picking your incredible brain. You know, and I'd really like to have a conversation sometime about reincarnation and the dreamlike aspect of reality, because, you know, I'm a Buddhist also, and I believe in reincarnation, even though, I don't know, I'd love to get your point of view on that. But before we go off on a tangent, your latest book is considered seminal and groundbreaking. Why would that be?
Yeah, well, okay, just to create context, so I'm not a physicist at all. And I had this experience starting over 40 years ago where I found myself in a universe where stuff was happening that was completely physically impossible. And then I found quantum physics, and I realized quantum physics was mapping and articulating this new universe that I had found myself in. And the more I went down the rabbit hole of quantum physics, the more I had the realization that quantum physics is the physics of the dream, that it's actually articulating, it's literally revealing to us the dreamlike nature of reality, which is to say that we are having a collectively shared dream each and every moment, that we are dreaming up together into materialization, and quantum physics is actually showing us that, it's revealing that to us.
Okay. Well, I know you've done a lot of work on dreams and lucid dreaming. I think you sometimes have taught a course on lucid dreaming. Isn't that right? Okay. Yeah. So, you know, our audience we're not scientists.
Right.
And you write that appreciating quantum physics requires a metanoia, a spiritual transformation, a big time shift in one's belief systems. So can you unpack that? Can you unpack that for us? Quantum physics related to dreaming?
Yeah. So in other words, to create context, before quantum physics came into the world and into our mind about a century ago, pre-quantum physics, Newtonian classical physics thought of the world as objectively existing, separate from us, and we're just the observers trying to understand this world that's out there. And then quantum physics came along and it empirically proved that the idea of an objective world is just that, an idea. It's a nonsensical idea that only exists in our minds with no correlate to reality. And what quantum physics proved is that the act of observing this universe actually influenced the universe observed. Now, just pause right there. That's a description of a dream. Okay. Now, when you go down that rabbit hole, what that means is that the act of observation is a key variable, you could say, in the equation of the universe, and that the act of observation is creative. Okay. And that when you realize that, it opens up the most unimaginably vast creative energy in each one of us when we realize that. But it's even, you know, beyond that, because when you have the realization that the world out there is not separate from you, that it's not objective, that the way you're perceiving it is actually influencing, you know, the universe and the way you're experiencing it, you begin to realize, wait, if there's nothing objective out there, what happened to the subject? What happened to me? I, as a subject, I have to have an object to be in relationship to in order to be a subject. If there's nothing objective, then who am I? So I'm pointing out that quantum physics unwittingly has promoted itself to become a spiritual path. And, you know,
would you say mystical? A mystical path, perhaps.
Yeah. I talk about it in the book. I have a whole section on that. It's very mystical, and it's this incredible sort of spiritual, mystical awakening that it can catalyze in people who really get, because quantum physics is this revelation. It's a modern day revelation. We've never seen anything like it. It's only been around 100 years. We're at the very beginning stages of understanding what it's revealing to us. And it's a known archetypal thing that in times of great darkness, that's when revelations typically occur. And we as a species are having a massive revelation through the instrument of science, through quantum physics. It's literally showing us who we are. It's showing us our creative genius. It's showing us the dreamlike nature. But the typical academic, corporately trained physicist is not prepared to recognize the dreamlike nature that quantum physics is revealing.
I think part of the problem is that most humans, including scientists, are not prepared to have the spiritual transformation or the gigantic shift in their belief system that it would require. I mean, even Einstein had a problem with it.
No, Einstein, to the end of his life, he could not fully embrace quantum physics because he was still attached to that there was an objective world out there separate from our perception of it.
Okay. Which is the same thing as being attached to an ego. You know, you have the subject and the object. You know, that's what the ego does. It objectifies everything.
But yet Einstein said something about quantum physics. He said, and this is a quote, "It is so uncommonly important, it should be everyone's concern." Okay, so it's not just some sort of like abstract, you know, really complicated theory that's very esoteric. No, it has real world implications for all of us, and it's actually offering us the medicine for the insanity, for the mind virus. I've written, like you were saying, 3 books about this mind virus. That's the affliction, you know, that our species is suffering from. Quantum physics is offering us the medicine.
Well, would you describe that affliction? I'm trying to remember how you defined Wetiko, but seems to me it's got a lot in common with malignant narcissism.
Totally. You know, but the thing with malignant narcissism, that's only one aspect of the multifaceted jewel of the Wetiko mind virus, but absolutely, that's part of it. what the mind virus really is we've entranced ourselves by our own creative genius in a way that's killing us. That, you know, it works through our blind spots. It's a form of blindness, this mind virus. It works through the projective tendencies of the mind in such a way that we become entranced by our own projection. And it's killing us, you know, to the extent that we're not plugging into our own creative genius in a constructive way.
Okay, so like going back to what Einstein said about how it's so important that we understand quantum physics, why did he say that? What was he had a problem with it. Why did he make that statement? Why was it so important? Well, why did he think it was so important?
Because this universe has been proven, empirically proven, to be quantum on all scales. Because quantum physics started off by trying to find the building block, the microstructure of this physical universe. And as it went down in scale, it didn't find anything having anything to do with matter, but it found mind. And then quantum physicists found this universe is quantum on every level, not just the micro level, but the macro level. What that means is that there's no separation, that there's no separate things that are interacting, that everything is part of one whole quantum system.
Okay, so what is the practical ramifications of this wisdom once we can get to it? Because we're so used to manipulating external reality and trying to make things happen, you know, God the creator, etc. You know, man has made God in his own image. We like to make stuff. We like to create, you know, to manipulate matter. How do we get over that, and what do we do otherwise?
Yeah, well, on the one hand, what makes quantum physics a spiritual path is that it's shedding light on that we don't exist in the way we've been imagining we do. If we imagine we exist as a separate self, that we're actually interconnected and interdependent with each other and with the whole quantum field, the whole universe. Out of that realization springs compassion. And it's crazy to be talking about science in the same sentence as compassion, but that's one of the real benefits of quantum physics. And it's also showing us that we, our nature is to be creative, each one of us, all of us. But to the extent that we're asleep to our creative nature, then it gets turned against us. That's the whole mind virus that comes in and, you know, it turns our own creativity against us. So it's actually by showing us that there's nothing out there objective. And of course, a lot of people exploit that by going, oh, well, everything's just subjective. No, quantum physics doesn't say everything's subjective. It couples the subject and the object in this non-dual state. It's actually really helping us to have the recognition of our nature, of our whole nature, of our holiness, and of our creative nature, and of our nature as love and compassion.
So if there are no absolutes, if there are no like firm boundaries of Newtonian physics that we're used to thinking in terms of, how do we navigate? I guess what I'm trying to say is, what good does it do us to know that we're living in a dream, that we're living in an illusion? It's just going to change our attitude. It's going to change the way that we relate to each other.
Yeah. Well, it's the difference between standing in front of a mirror and seeing our reflection and being conditioned by the reflection compared to standing in front of that mirror and recognizing that it's just a reflection and that our nature is the mirror that's never changed by any of the reflection. And so, you know, you begin to discover when quantum physics, it's showing us that, oh, we are conjuring up this shared experience of our lives moment by moment, but we're doing it unconsciously. And because it's unconscious, guaranteed it's going to manifest in a destructive way. What quantum physics is showing us is, oh, we can wake up to that our consciousness is and actually is the key factor in how reality is getting informed. And then all of a sudden, we actually connect with our true nature, which is creative, okay?
Mm-hmm. So the idea that the observer impacts whatever's observed, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, et cetera, that basically gives us a lot of creative power to not be trapped. You call it consensus. What did you call it? You call it
consensus
trance.
Yeah, consensus trance. Yeah, no, totally. Well, because quantum physics discovered it through their experiments. That,
so this is about consciousness. This is about science validating the fact that consciousness is very central to
everything. There's still a huge, there's a huge controversy because consciousness has intruded itself into the physics lab, and this is not what physicists signed up for. It's the skeleton in their closet. They've been doing everything they can to get rid of it, but it's not going away. And the real, cutting edge quantum physicists are saying we still haven't found the central point of quantum physics. The image they use, they say it's like going, if you've never seen an automobile and you go into a forest and there's an automobile and you turn on the turning signal or the windshield wipers or the radio, but you haven't figured out what the automobile is for. Quantum physics has already changed the history of our world with all the technology it's brought forth. But all of the greatest quantum physicists are saying we still haven't found what is the central idea. But they are saying this technology is the low-hanging fruit. The real benefit of quantum physics is going to be how it expands our consciousness, okay? And here I am, not a physicist, and saying, well, the central idea of quantum physics is that it's revealing to us that we are having a collectively shared dream. And this dream is manifesting in such a nightmarish way because we don't know our nature.
Okay. So how is quantum physics affecting the evolution of technology? What technologies have come out of this discovery?
Oh, well, I mean, just computers with atomic energy, with transistors, with lasers, the whole digital age. All of that, and like I'm saying, that's been called the low-hanging fruit. It's like one way to think of it, it's like this magic wand has fallen from heaven, and it gives us this unbelievable superhero power to solve all these equations and create all these technologies. But if somebody asks, what does it mean that this has happened? Typically, the typical response is shut up and calculate. And so it's only been certain physicists who were really sort of, kind of these mystically oriented people who are asking, wait a second, what is this about? That this unbelievable magical, because quantum physics, again and again, the physicists are using the word magic. They're saying this universe is overflowing with magic. And these are the hardest core, these rigorous scientists.
You equate the realizations that quantum physics is offering us, that they're related to the ancient Eastern wisdom traditions such as Buddhism.
Can you speak
to that?
Not just me. These are some of the founding fathers of quantum physics who, once they tapped into the quantum, they're literally saying, I have quotes in my book going, this is what, the Eastern sages have been saying for millennia. And the quantum, is the Buddha nature. The Buddha actually, when he passed away, he prophesied Padmasambhava, an even greater incarnation of myself will soon be born. And he was the founder of Tibetan Buddhism, and many people consider him, he was the creator of quantum physics. Now, one thing that I have to share, in Buddhism, Padmasambhava started a tradition called the Terma tradition, the hidden treasure tradition, the idea that he planted these spiritual treasures in the multidimensional fabric of the universe that, like alarm clocks, were designed to go off at exactly the right moment to wake people up. In my book, one of the things, there's no one else saying this that I know, I'm pointing out that quantum physics is a modern day analog to a terma, to a spiritual treasure, that we as a species have dreamed up quantum physics into our world to help us to actually break the spell we are under, to wake us up.
I still don't understand how quantum physics, from a scientific point of view, is related to this, to how transistors work and computers connection. I don't understand how it's been applied, by technologists.
I don't either. Like I openly say in my book and in all my talks, I'm not a physicist. If there's mathematical equations in a book, I just put it down. What I began to notice was that the experience I was having once I had my awakening and stuff was happening that was physically impossible, that this was the universe that quantum physics was describing. That's where my interest was, sort of the metaphysical philosophical.
Right, aspect. Right. And this is where quantum physics is where physics becomes metaphysics, which is why the scientists have such a problem with it.
Yeah, because quantum physics has discovered that mind and matter, seemingly two opposites, actually, it's not just that they're interacting, they're not separate. That's what I mean when you have the realization that this physical world out there is not separate from our own consciousness, you know?
Mm-hmm. You are of the opinion that the insights emerging from quantum physics can dissolve our pessimism and despair and help us and help us get in touch with feeling optimistic about our future. I think our listeners would love to hear how this works.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, and that, like, in quantum physics, they conceived of the really, when they went down in scale, like I said, they didn't find anything having to do with matter. They found mind, and they called these particles, the building blocks of the physical universe, elementary particles. It's one name for it, okay? What is the nature of these elementary particles? They are conceived of as existing in any and every possible state they ever could exist in up until the moment they're observed. And the moment that they're observed, one of those possibilities actualizes and all the other potentialities just, they vaporize back into parallel universes. And then the very next moment, the same thing. What this means is profound, because what that means is even if something is highly, ridiculously unlikely, it could manifest this very moment. And what that means is that the idea that our species, that enough of us could actually awaken in this very moment such that we can avert the incredible catastrophe that we are collectively creating, quantum physics says that is completely within the realm of the possible. And if you're not envisioning that, then what are you thinking? Because if you hold a pessimistic viewpoint, you're going to being a dream. You're going to attract all the evidence confirming your viewpoint. And then you're part of the problem, not the solution.
Well, that's what we do, is we gather evidence that confirms our viewpoints. And this is where I think I'm wondering whether quantum physics and the understanding that we have all of this power, being the observer and having an impact, that we can make our own dream and we can like have our own reality, which seems to be a dangerous trend that's happening these days, where people feel like, well, if I want to believe it, it's true for me. And so,
yeah, but that's a perversion. That's a perversion of the gnosis of quantum physics, because the idea is when one person has the, like in a night dream, a way to understand this, you hold a viewpoint in a night dream. What is a night dream? But it's a reflection of your mind. It'll immediately give you the evidence confirming your viewpoint, you know, which proves to you that, oh, my viewpoint is true. So you get even more fixed in that viewpoint. The more fixed you get, the more the dream just gives you confirmation ad infinitum in a feedback loop that self-reinforces, whose origin is one's own mind. That's to hypnotize ourselves. That's the mind virus, okay? When enough people see through that and connect with other people who are also awake in that way, they can then put what I call the sacred power of dreaming, the part of them that's dreaming the dream into materialization, which we're all doing moment by moment, but we're doing it unconsciously. When people wake up to that, they can get in sync with each other and realize we can dream the dream differently. And what that means is to be able to consciously step into our own evolutionary process. That's what this is all about.
Right. It's about waking up, like the subtitle of your book says. Awakening in the dreamlike nature of reality.
Right.
Wow, this is very mystical stuff. So tell us about your private practice. What are you, how does that work?
I have a private practice where I meet. I mean, I've been meeting with people all day, and then I have all these groups, some in Portland in my living room, some, you know, on Zoom. International groups have been forming around me. And, you know, I'm not a therapist. I, you know, never call myself a therapist. Just people who read my work, they seem to be really interested and get benefit by just hanging out with me and just tripping out on the nature of reality and sharing with me their process. And I can help them in whatever way I can, you know? So, yeah.
So let's talk about your website. How, is this how people would find out about that or everything else you do?
Yeah. And if people, the way I would say it, if people want to awaken in the dream, go to Awaken in the Dream, A-W-A-K-E-N, in the Dream. And it's not monetized. That's the one criticism I get, because I want, this information is medicine. It's helping people. So there's a ton of interviews like this. There's a ton of articles all for free. And yeah, if people want to book a session or buy an autographed copy of my book, that's the only money part. But other than that, there's no paywall or anything.
No subscription or that kind of thing.
No subscription. So that, yeah.
That's www.awakeninthedream.com. Well, that's
right.
That's
fantastic. Not awakened. Yeah, right.
So what would you, we have like a minute left. What would you like to share with our audience on the way up?
Yeah, I would say that in essence, you know, encoded, hidden within the darkness of our world is this incredible light. And that's what quantum physics is showing us. So that's where it's important to not get caught in that sort of despairing, pessimistic viewpoint, because then being a reflection, the waking dream will just give us all the evidence confirming that. No, to really connect with other people who are also awakening, to connect with our heart, with our soul, and also to really connect with our creative spirit, because that is our nature. And then to connect with other people who are also awakening in that way, that then we discover that we can dream ourselves awake. And that's, you know, and that's like a night dream where all the dream characters recognize the nature of their circumstance that they're dreaming, and they can have a lucid dream that's way more in alignment of who we're discovering ourselves to be, which is to say we don't exist separate from each other. We're all interdependent.
I found your book to be an awakening experience. I had the experience that I had when I used to read Krishnamurti, where it was like all very esoteric and very deep. But, you know, the view, to have that viewpoint from the top of the mountain was very invigorating. And so thank you very much for writing the book. And thank you very much for being on our show today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Paul. Thank you so much for the invite, really. Thank you.
And I want to say to those who may have tuned into Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this entire interview whenever you want via the internet or the free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Paul Levy, author of The Quantum Revelation, Awakening in the Dreamlike Nature of Reality. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. Even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, as well as Paulo's YouTube channel and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and Podcasts. And thanks again to author Paul Levy and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
are listening to Spill
on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism,